Wow, what a song, huh? Okay, tonight we are back with the Roadmap to Deliverance. And if you remembered, we started this little series last month or last year, if you want to say that. And we started with the first two sections. And the first section was all about simply learning to wait, which is a skill that many people need to work on, including myself. Part two was all about breaking chains. Tonight, we're going to be talking about something that I feel is so underused all over the world, let alone in the Christian church today. And I call it practicing the power of forgiveness. I know. I can imagine maybe the look on your faces. You know, in our journeys through life, there are a lot of things to learn, especially out of God's Word, which is very true. But this evening, my goal is to empower you, because if you think about it, we have every tool that one could ever hope for on the believer's tool belt. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Did these sound familiar? I think so. These are referred to as the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. So along with all of these qualities comes with a lot of incredible results if they are used to their fullest potential. And a lot of Christians struggle to see that all of these fruits are all internal qualities. You can't just see them on the outside of a person. So when somebody exercises these qualities, it becomes very clear. But forgiveness is a very important principle taught in many spiritual traditions around the world. And there are many scriptures that instruct us to develop this quality as well. But the question that arises, why forgive? Let's start in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You know, the inability to forgive weighs down on us because we go around carrying all of this baggage from our past interactions, our past experiences, and our histories. And maybe for some of you, that may be not so good. But I would even go so far as to say that without forgiveness, we are actually holding ourselves chained to the past. We're going to take a look at the book of Luke here, chapter 23. And in Luke chapter 23, we're going to go to verse 32. "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." I mean, think about these statements. Unbelievable that Jesus, that at this desperate and torturous time of his life, would have the presence of mind to offer what I would say the greatest example of forgiveness for us to follow. It is a truly humbling action, isn't it? That in his final moments, right before he was going to be murdered, crucified, he lives out the words he had preached earlier in his ministry. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Okay, so we're going to go to chapter 6 of Luke. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And jumping down to verse 35. But love ye your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. But you, therefore, merciful as your Father also is merciful. Mercy has been defined as not receiving what we do deserve, and then grace is receiving that which we do not deserve. And in Matthew chapter 18, verse 24 in particular, there's a parable where Jesus teaches to show the depth of God's love. And it's a record of a man whose debt was what was known as 10,000 talents, which is the equivalent to millions of dollars in today's value. I mean, no slave in ancient times could ever repay such a debt. People in ancient times would understand this comparative amount far better than modern Westerners. But this is not like us, because we owe God an unpayable debt. But in mercy, God cancels our debt, forgives us, and lets us go free. Because God is into freedom. And God does all of this perfectly legally on the basis that Jesus Christ has paid or endured the unpayable debt for us. Forgiveness means to remove the guilt resulting from wrongdoing. And it's really important to note that the focus and the meaning is upon the guilt of the wrongdoer and not upon the wrongdoing itself. Because when God forgives the wrongdoer, the event of wrongdoing is not undone, but the guilt resulting from such an event is pardoned. To forgive, therefore, means essentially to remove the guilt resulting from wrongdoing. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, Paul stated this glorious truth of forgiveness when he wrote, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Now, the word forgive is the Greek word, I'm going to try to pronounce this correctly. It's spelt APHEIEME. See if you can pronounce that on your own. APHEIEME, which means to permanently dismiss, to liberate completely, to discharge, to send away, or to release. And it was used in the New Testament times to mean to cancel a debt or to release someone from an obligation of a contract or a commitment or a promise. It means to forfeit any right to hold a person captive to a previous commitment or a wrong that that person has committed. So when Paul used this word in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 to describe the forgiveness of sins, he was saying that God has permanently dismissed our past sins from us because we are liberated completely from them. I mean, he has discharged them from us. He has sent them away, and he has released us from them. The debt we once owed due to our past transgressions has been canceled. And God has freed us from the guilt of those previous actions because the blood of Christ was shed for the payment of our sin. God has forfeited any right to hold us captive for that which we have already received forgiveness. What an abundance of mercy that is. I mean, doesn't it say in Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You know, if God said that he removed our sins from us as far as the north is from the south, or as far as the east is from the west, we would eventually actually meet our sins again, because, you know, as far as the north is from the south, there is a north pole and a south pole. But if you go east to the west and you never change direction, you'll never meet west, because you'll always be going east. So likewise, if you travel west and you keep going west, you're never going to go east, because you'll always be traveling west. So east never meets east, and west never meets west. And that's how far God has removed our sins from us. He has removed your past sins from you forever. In fact, Micah 7:19 declares that once God has dealt with your sins, he throws them into a sea of forgetfulness. Okay, Micah 7, verse 18 and 19, not a place we go to all the time, but Micah 7, 18 and 19 contains these wonderful words. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. See, these verses reveal that no angel or human has a character so willing to pardon wickedness done against himself or others as what God has. Because God has put our sins behind his back forever, never to look at them again. And he has chosen to release us from our sins completely, as if we never even did them. You know, God doesn't have a poor memory. I mean, if he chose to remember something we've done, who knows what reason he might have, he absolutely could. But he has chosen to never remember them again. And oftentimes, you know, there's this thing, I think I mentioned it last month when I was sharing on something else. A lot of the times people are hung up on the past. But there's this thing, this phrase, like, forget the past. Don't remember the past. Just forget about it. Don't worry about it. Past is in the past. Well, there's a verse in Romans that says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime are there for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So there is a benefit to remembering perhaps even some of the things that have happened in the past. Because it's possible and very likely that those things have played a part in our testimony of today. But as far as our sins, he has thrown them into the depths of the sea, where he will never retrieve them to bring them up ever again. So since we are in Christ, and therefore we have received forgiveness from God by what Christ did on our behalf, why do we have to keep dragging up our past again and again, as if God were reminding us of our past? If he has placed your past actions into this sea of forgetfulness, shouldn't you leave all that past mess where he has left it? I would say so. So why don't you make the decision to leave your past in the past and in the depths of the sea, and allow yourself to be released from whatever is holding you back? Because that's what God really wants us to do. Okay? So, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this truth of being able to forgive just as you have forgiven us, Father, as far as the east is from the west. I mean, what a metaphor that is, Father. So I pray for each heart on the line this evening that we could all just be completely energized and inspired to move forward, Father. And it's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.